My scripture today is going to be coming from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. And my translation that I'm using here is actually one that's kind of heavily relies on a translation by the Reverend Dr. D. Mark Davis. And then I've changed a few things myself. And if you are a translation kind of person and have any questions about any of the interpretations that are made here, please just leave it in a comment or DM me or email me at mark@reverendmarksandlin.com. I'd enjoy engaging with you about that if you're interested. Hear now these words. And he was coming to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, having come into the synagogue, he was teaching. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as having authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man in an unclean spirit, and it squawked out, saying, "What to us and to you, Jesus the Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I've seen who you are, saint of God." And Jesus censured him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And convulsing him, the unclean spirit, and crying out, a great voice went out with him. All were amazed, so that to ask to each other, saying, "Who is this? This teaching with authority? And to the unclean spirit he commands," and they listened to him. And the report of him went out immediately, all places, into the whole region of Galilee. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. So my message this morning is entitled, "Jesus, the Boundary Breaker." So I need to let you know, one of my undergraduate degrees is in English. And it's from sort of that part of my brain that I tell you that I love foreshadowing. For me, it's not only one of like the most interesting literary devices, but it's also one of the most fun ones. Yeah, in the hands of the right writer, it can also be one of the most creative ones. Here's I'm also a movie buff, which was part of what my English degree was. Here's a few quick examples from some of my favorite movies of foreshadowing. So in the Bates Motel, when Marion checks into the Bates Motel, she hears the owner, Norman Bates. He's in an argument with his mother, and mother is quite emotionally abusive to him. But when Marion suggests that maybe their relationship might be toxic, Norman defends her and explains that his mother is, and I quote, "as harmless as one of those little stuffed birds." Now, later, when the film's major twist is revealed, well, we find out the mother is indeed as harmless as a stuffed bird, because Norman had killed and taxidermied her. Spoiler alert. Sorry. Okay, so near the beginning of The Matrix, Neo's boss, Mr. Reinhardt, he's giving Neo a really hard time. He tells Neo that he has a problem with authority and that, quote, "You believe that you are special, that somehow the rules do not apply to you. Obviously, you are mistaken." Well, as the movie progresses, we learn that rules, well, they literally do not apply to Neo at all. Last one. near the beginning of the first ever Star Wars movie, A New Hope. When Luke's aunt and uncle are talking about Luke, his aunt says, "Luke's not much of a farmer, Owen. He has too much of his father in him." Owen, his uncle, replies, "That's what I'm afraid of." Now, if you know anything about Star Wars, you know that that conversation foreshadows Luke's journey to reconciling with the reality that Darth Vader, oh yeah, spoiler alert, that Darth Vader is his father. I love good foreshadowing, but you may be asking yourself, what does this have to do with the scripture we just heard you read from? Well, as it turns out, the writers of the Gospels were pretty big fans of foreshadowing too. You see, in each of the Gospels, in each of them, the authors use Jesus' first public appearance as a foreshadow. So, if you want to know who the writer is trying to say Jesus is throughout their book, look to Jesus' first public appearance in that book. So in Matthew, it's the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, Jesus is presented as a wise teacher of spirituality, philosophy. Jesus, the great rabbi. And in Luke, he is the one who came to set the captives free and to heal those who are sick. So Jesus, the Redeemer. Jesus in John, well, he turns water into wine at a wedding celebration. He was a miracle worker. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. And what was his first public action in the book of Mark? It's today's text, an exorcism of a demon. Now, you might correctly guess that dealing with text about demons isn't something that we minister types covet. As a matter of fact, when I saw what the lectionary was suggesting for today, one of the things I immediately thought of was, people really don't talk about demons much anymore. So why is that? Why is that? Well, because in those days, being possessed by an evil spirit, well, that was just basically their way of saying, that boy ain't right. Don't know what's wrong with him, but he ain't right. Much like they might say that a person who was suffering from a disease in those days, a disease that they didn't understand, that they'll say that they must be suffering because of the sins of their father. Demon possession was a way of explaining something that they had no way to explain. Much like we talked about over the last several weeks, there are parts of the Bible that were never meant to be taken literally. Many times the authors are just trying to tell a good story in order to teach us something. To teach us something about God, about Jesus, about love, about equality, about social justice, about the things that will bring about a better creation, a better world. You know, for years and years, preachers have largely assumed that this story is true and have basically done theological contortions to make it work. Well, to make it kind of work. So, just a thought here. What if we don't? What if we approach it as good storytelling? That is supposed to foreshadow who this Jesus character is going to be. What might it tell us? Now we start with Jesus going into a synagogue and he starts teaching. Now, it'd be easy to leap to the conclusion that much like in Matthew with the Sermon on the Mount, that this is meant to indicate that he is a great rabbi. Which, while it's true that he was a great teacher, point which I think Mark would also agree with, I don't think that that's what Mark is trying to do here. So the first clue, particularly in comparison to Matthew, the first clue is that he doesn't actually tell us anything about what Jesus said. I mean, honestly, if we look closely, it doesn't even tell us if what he was saying was all that remarkable. The scripture says, and they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as having authority and not as the scribes. So they were amazed at his teaching, not by his teaching. So why were they amazed? Well, the verse actually tells us, quote, for he was teaching them as having authority and not as the scribes. Now, that's not some kind of ancient dissing of the scribes. Not at all. The scribes were probably doing their jobs, which was simply to stick to the scriptures and their teachings. That they were under the authority of Moses and the prophets. It would seem, however, that Jesus was teaching under a different authority, or maybe he was teaching under no authority. The real point is that he was removing a barrier that the scribes worked under. They must adhere to the authority of someone else in dealing with the scripture. And then Jesus waltzes in, and I suspect he starts doing his whole, you know, you have heard it said, but I say thing. And by doing so, he begins to remove the barriers between everyday people and the biblical text. Well, when you get to messing with power structures, there's going to be resistance. So back to the text. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man in unclean spirit, and it squawked out, saying, what to you and to us, Jesus the Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? Have you seen? I have seen who you are, saint of God. Okay. So we're back to this idea of possession by an unclean spirit. So let's just assume that demons are not real. I think most of us in a literal sense can agree to that. It isn't that hard. What we are left with is this man being possessed and trapped and imprisoned by something that he cannot escape, something that makes his life miserable. What in your life, what things in your life do that to you? That possess and trap, imprison you, make your life miserable, or at least more difficult or unhappy. You see, we simply will never know what trapped, caged up the man in this story. We will never know. Now, as an English major, I have to wonder if that might be on purpose. I mean, if the story was meant to teach rather than to be taken literally, then we are practically left with this hole in the story where we could easily insert the things that cage us. just something to think about. So then Jesus he recognizes the spirit and the fact that not only is it separate from the man who he really is, but he also recognizes that it's not to be taken lightly. And it's then, and only then, that Jesus can take control of it and help break the cage in which the man is trapped. He doesn't equate the man to the demon. He doesn't take the demon lightly either. He recognizes it. Recognizes it as separate from the man and deals with it head on. Text says, and convulsing him, the unclean spirit, and crying out a great voice, went out. Jesus freed him. Breaking through what possessed him and prevented him from having life as fully as he deserved. And that is the foreshadow of who this Jesus character that Mark is telling us about. It's the foreshadowing of who he will be. In Mark, he is Jesus the boundary breaker. Not just Jesus, but it ends up also being about the God that Jesus teaches us about. This is a story about a teacher who follows a God who is... Well, is no fan of barriers, particularly those that separate us from each other and from a better life, be they political, social, religious, ethic, racial, sexual, gendered, whatever. Jesus in Mark teaches us that those boundaries, which attempt to limit, restrain, and keep others in their place, are to be confronted. Acknowledged and torn down. Amen. Let's take a moment here and pause a bit, soak a little bit of our thoughts in, still ourselves for a moment of reflection or meditation or prayer, whatever is the best way for it to be experienced by you, please do so. Good and gracious God, it's easy to get so caught up in the busyness and troubles of our own lives that we forget we are called to be transformers for justice in this world. There is so much pain, so much loneliness, so much sickness, so much loss, so much injustice in this world. That it can sometimes seem like just the way things are. Let us never forget that creation contains the possibility of heaven on earth, a fellowship of humanity. Let us never forget that the teachings of Jesus, as well as the teachings of many other great spiritual leaders, can lead us to a world well, suffering is greatly reduced. And until that time, teach us not only to confront injustice, to tear down barriers, but to comfort those who suffer and to be open to receiving comfort when we are the ones suffering. Amen.